Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Hey, a couple quick things. It's already off to a good start, isn't it? I just got to reflect on the worship this morning. It was awesome. I tell you, anytime you get to, so good. I love worshiping. A couple other things. We have some of you guys went through a six-week deal we did back in May, I think it was, called We Are Storytellers. It's a six-week course where we kind of go over some of the grace basics as well as tell you a little bit about what storytelling is and how you can be involved in our community. That's starting, you'll hear more about that, but that starts on September 12th. So if you missed the first time and you said, man, I'd like to go and I hear a lot of concepts when you're preaching that I don't fully kind of grasp, and I'd like to kind of come in an environment where I can ask questions and that kind of stuff, this is perfect for you. September 12th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we have childcare as well as they'll be kind of doing their own deal as well, kind of learning along with us. So it's really, really cool for your kids. And then at the very end of that, mark your calendars. If you're here in the church, even if you didn't go to the six-week class, you're going to want to come to this. It's on October 21st. I got a little bit of a boom in my voice, I think. October 21st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's an all-day deal where we are going to do Mind Styles. If you've never looked at Mind Styles before, maybe you've heard us talk about it, you've really got to come be a part of this. It's an all-day thing for a reason. It's an all-day thing where you will walk away going, man, I can't even believe I never did it before now. It's that good. You're going to want to come be a part of that October 21st, okay? So even if you didn't go to the six-week deal, you can still come to this. You're going to want to come to that. Also, college, 18 to 20-somethings, where are you guys at? Are y'all in here this morning? And 18 to 20-somethings, like three of you guys, awesome, it's going to be great. No, y'all are probably still sleeping. I'm just kidding, I was, but anyway, August 26th, that's this Saturday, from 6 to 9 p.m., we've got something special just for you guys. We are launching our college and 20-something sort of group. Again, it's called Current. We are kind of doing a relaunch of that and you're going to want to be there. It's going to be a bonfire in the middle of summer. I mean, what can go wrong? So August, that's this Saturday. Come be a part of that. Brilliant planning. All right. Let's pray this morning. This world has seemed awfully heavy lately. Anybody else feeling that way? There's too many situations to even bring up just one thing. So let's just pray all together. Father, we come to you. Lord, Lord, you know all that's happening in our world today. God, the darkness that still exists, the things that surprise so many of us that still exist, God, in this world. And Lord, we don't want our hearts to be troubled, God. We don't want to live from a place of fear or anxiety or looking at the world through earthly eyes, God. We look through your eyes this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would do where we don't even know what to do. God, that you would bring peace to this world, that you would bring you to all of those who really, really need you, God, which is all of us. But Lord, that those that are operating in darkness, God, that you would reach out to them and that you would go to them. Father, for these officers that were lost to us, God, over the weekend, God, I pray for their families. Lord, would you go to their families? Would you comfort those who mourn? Holy Spirit, go right now and be with them. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, that you would help us keep our eyes on you and not this world and its trouble. Because, Father, you sent your Son to overcome this world. And so we live victoriously in him, and we have hope. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, this morning we are going to continue this series, Stories of the Kingdom. The past couple of weeks we've been talking about the parables that Jesus shared and the truth that is still found in these messages that he shared. We looked at the first couple of weeks how he introduced how there is a new way to know God, that it wasn't just new information that he was sharing, but he was sharing an experiential knowledge. He was saying, hey, this is something I'm calling you into. Come be a part. Come be joined with me. This is something brand new. It's unlike anything you've ever heard. He talked about how it was a new foundation that he built on a new covenant. Here's Jesus sharing these stories to get to the heart of the issue. And so he's sharing parables as any other rabbi would have, but his parables don't seem to make any sense, okay? So whereas other rabbis are sharing parables to try to make a point on what they're teaching, Jesus seemingly jumps ship every single time and goes to some totally different place. And that's not because he's trying to be confusing or he's trying to be anything other than he's sharing truth. And our eyes were so blind, we couldn't even see what was right in front of us. A couple weeks ago, or last week, we did the video where you could, all of us, half of us missed something major in the room. And if you didn't, I don't want to spoil it. If you didn't see it, you should go watch it. But there's this thing that you completely miss, and this is what Jesus is coming to deal with. Now, did he come to set us free from sin, to give us life? Yes, all of these things that he came to do are true. But if we don't look at the root of the problem, then we miss it. And the root is he came to get us out of a way of thinking that is based upon knowledge of good and evil. Think about, just for a moment, even just what's happening in our world events, we're all more inclined to want to argue right and wrong and good and evil than we are really just to bring life and love into a situation. We're more drawn towards that than we are the other. And so Jesus comes and says, you don't have to live this way. This is not the way you have to live. You can live through seeing through me. So Jesus comes and he says, repent, not in the sense of feeling sorry and groveling before him, but no, in changing after being with me, change the way you see everything, everything. And so we have this word we talked about, anakinosis, which is the renewal of the mind. It doesn't mean new information. It's not asking God to bring new information to you. It's an act, really, of creation in us where he is renewing us, bringing a new reality to us so that when we are renewed, we shout the same things that he did when we say, I can do nothing without my Father's help. It's without him, I've got nothing. And we shout that from a victorious standpoint. It's a wonderful thing to say. So as Paul said in Romans 12:2, where we are not conforming any longer to this world, so often we only hear that in the sense of sin. So we don't want to conform to the world anymore. No, it's don't be conformed to this pattern anymore of fairness and right and wrong and all of the things that we do so imperfectly anyway. Don't be conformed to that. Instead, be transformed. Come into a new experience. And so last week, we kind of ended with what that kind of looks like. I shared with you the moment that Jesus or shared with me where God said, you are a child of God. He was not giving me new information. In fact, I was already a child of God, but he was revealing something to me. I was being renewed to the sense of, I am a child of God. And I've never needed him to tell me that ever again. I now live from the life that was imparted to me when he said this. So this morning, we're going to continue. And I want to share you a story with you about when I was a kid in my grandma's house. Grandmas, where you at? Any grandmas in the house today? You guys are awesome. Grandmas are awesome. All right, grandpas are awesome too, but grandma's awesome. And I would go to grandma's house, and I tell you, my grandmother was awesome, and it would come nap time, and I have an all-new appreciation for nap times. Grandmas, you get it. And so I remember going into my little guest bedroom there that my grandmother had for me, and she kind of closed the blinds, and it was just dark enough. Like, it was dark, but it was not totally dark. And she had this beautiful painting on the wall. It was an oil painting of a bowl of fruit. Now, this bowl of fruit looked really, really cool until the lights went off, and I'm telling you, it became a monster. You don't believe me, but I'm telling you, it became a monster. Supernaturally, it transferred into like some demonic octopus that wanted to eat me, okay? And so as a little kid, what do? But I'm seeing this thing, and I'm like, it's not real. It's not real. It looks real. It's not real. It looks real. And the next thing I know, I'm calling for grandma. Grandma comes in. She finally had enough of it, and she goes, okay, I'll just take it off the wall, you know, and she took it out of the room. But here was this bowl of fruit that in a lit room looked great, and in a dark room looked like a monster. Well, my kids are no different, right? I don't know, it's just kids. They go through this, and my kids, you know, Addie especially, I know when the lights go turned off, it's like all of a sudden things come alive, and the overactive imagination, because she gets to, honestly, and she's starting to picture things. And I'll sit there next to her, and I'll say, Addie, look, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. In fact, and this is a phrase that I just have always said to her, I say, look, Daddy's in the house. And as long as Daddy's in the house, you're good. You don't have to worry. I'm just outside this door. Daddy's in the house. You're good. And it's like she's listening to all that, and she's going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And she goes, that's great. Can I get a nightlight, you know? Daddy's in the house. Who cares? I need a nightlight. Daddy, I need a way to see in the dark. You outside there can't help me with that. All right, now. If this is the fear, and this is the anxiety, and this is what we feel as children when we're run into physical darkness, we run into this thing called darkness, I want you to imagine with me this morning the way the world has felt since the beginning. Hopelessness, fear, exhaustion, not from the darkness of this world, but through spiritual darkness. It's what we're experiencing. It's why you feel that heaviness when you turn on the news and you see it. Spiritual darkness is what our world has. And meanwhile, you have this law that appears that is like a lamp, a flood lamp that is just pointing at people, revealing what was hidden in darkness, to reveal, look how gross you look, okay? And so it's no wonder that a creation that is subjected to futility, a creation that no longer resembled its creator, did not want to see the light. We loved the darkness. Man, all of this light stuff is kind of bumming me out, you know? It's like we didn't want to see what it was exposing. We didn't want the light. And so John, as he's writing his gospel, and he says this, he goes, listen, I've seen this whole thing totally different. We walked with Jesus, I saw him in one way, and then after the Spirit, I see him in a totally new way. And can I just tell you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Oh, whoever believes in him, you'll never perish, you'll have everlasting life. Oh, he didn't come into the world to judge the world. No, but instead that the world might be saved through him. And then he continues in verse 19 by saying, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. We could not comprehend God. We had become a new creation in all of the wrong ways. We were a fallen creation. We didn't resemble him anymore. And so here in this moment, we see the light again, but can I tell you that this light was different? This light was totally different. Jesus was a light that looked different because although the law revealed all of our faults, Jesus was revealing all of our worth. A totally different experience. And so in a moment of let there be light, Christ appears into the world, and we cannot fathom him at all. And even though he came as a bowl of spiritual fruit, all we saw was a monster. In our darkness, all we saw was an aberration walking across the water, and we're saying, it's a ghost, it's a monster. The darkness of this world was concealing even our understanding of him. The light had entered into the world. So in our parable today that we're going to get to, Jesus says this. He says, the lamp of the body. So I want to talk about that. It's the title of our message today, the lamp of the body. Jesus is seeing darkness everywhere. Now, he walked with God. He was sinless. He never left the light. And so everywhere he's going, all he sees is darkness. But he sees straight through it. See, David writes in Psalm 139, he goes, look, if I get in a boat and I go all the way out into the darkest part of the ocean and I sit out there, you can see me. God, I can go anywhere. I can't hide from you. Darkness, he says this, darkness is as light to you. You can see straight through it. And so here is Jesus walking amongst us, seeing a spiritual reality that is here, and it is darkness, a spiritual reality which is the absence of light. Paul would come along later in Romans chapter 1 and explain it this way. He'd say, look, it was unrighteousness. It was being outside of the light is what caused this darkness, but something new was here, as Jesus has set up over these past couple weeks for us so well. And then he said, and now it looks like light. Light is here. All right, so in a moment where Jesus is trying to explain this to us, much like a father would explain this to his children, let me give you an example. I go to my kids sometimes and I say, I'll ask them a question, and then they'll respond back with saying, Daddy, why? And then whatever comes after that word why in this question, I guarantee you, I've never pondered in my entire life. Like, they will say, Daddy, why? And then it's like, I can't even make it up. Like, it's something I could never think of. I don't even know the answer to it. And I love these little moments where I'll be trying to share with my kids some deep truth. You know, my kids are like in kindergarten, you know, and they're coming home and they're like, yo, finger paint was awesome today, but this kid was really mean, and I'm like, okay, let me help you. You know, the way to win friends and influence people in kindergarten, you know, like share the crayons and love people, and I'm like sharing this, like, I mean, passionate. I'm sitting there going, Daddy, man, you are killing it right now. Like, we're star on the wall, you know, and then your child, you know where I'm going, you're sharing all this, and then what does your kid do? But they're like not even listening, you know, and my youngest will say, yeah, Dad, that's cool, there was a snake in class today, you know, and I'm like, got it, you know, like I thought we were getting somewhere. And in that same kind of frustration, I picture Jesus, here he is, he's teaching on prayer.
He's teaching on what prayer really looks like. He's teaching, hey, you can receive daily bread from God. You remember how your ancestors did that? You can get that spiritually. Like, this is your Father. He will feed you every single day. He's never going to abandon you. Jesus is teaching these incredible truths. He's saying, look, if you seek, you'll find. Ask, it'll be open to you. And then all of a sudden, he sees somebody with a demon, and he goes, no, this isn't going to do. And he just casts the demon right on out of him. And somebody goes, what was that? And just like my kids who completely miss the point, this person misses the point and says, oh, he works for the devil. He casts a demon out. I mean, can you only hear Jesus sigh? I mean, like, I can't even imagine this. And so somebody accuses him. And so what does he do? But he begins talking about Jonah. And he goes, you know what? You guys listen to Jonah. You remember Jonah? Yeah, he smelled like fish. Yeah, Jonah, you guys followed him. Y'all listened to him. And I'm standing in front of you. I made Jonah, thank you. I made the fish that swallowed him. And you won't listen to me at all. And so he goes into, from talking about Jonah, what he's saying for the context of this parable that we're about to read, he basically is saying this. You just watched the Messiah do something. You just saw something happen that only I could do, and you attributed it to the devil. You saw something good, and you called it evil. Your eyes are bad. You can't see. And so this, if you didn't have that as an understanding, hear what this would have sounded like coming on the heels of all of that. Luke 11, 33 through 34. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Okay, this seems like a very big duh moment, okay? How many of you would invite someone over to your home, and as they're walking up the driveway, you shut all of the lights off and hide and look out the window? Like, you would be the worst guest or host ever, okay? That's not what we do, and Jesus is like, why would you do that is what he's saying. No, you don't hide it under a bushel. No, you put it up on a lampstand so it can illuminate the whole house and you guys can throw down. Like, you can't have a party if you can't see. All right, so don't do that. So he continues. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, he's basically pointing at them as he's saying this, your body also is full of darkness. In other words, you are blind. You cannot see. Then watch out, what a crazy claim he makes. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Make sure that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined as when a lamp illumines you with its rays. All right, a couple quick things. Let's get off the table. This is not about the song, okay? So this little light of mine, like, I know, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I can't stop hearing it in my head, and that's not what we're talking about this morning. I'm also not talking about how I've heard some say, yes, the more that you are sanctified, the more sin you get out of your life, your eyes start looking more and more clear and all of that. Look, I got allergies. If I can get these eyes to ever be clear, it will be a miracle. Like, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Although, yes, living with him, your countenance changes and all that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Instead, this morning, hear it through what he's saying, and that is that the lamp, he's saying, is often used as a metaphor for the eye. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It lights my path. It's the way that I see. And so using this parable, the very first thing that he's already demonstrating is that you guys aren't even aware that you're in darkness, and the light has appeared, so now you can even just notice, oh, we've been in darkness this whole time. Like, even just that alone. And in the same way that you would not put a light away, why are you putting me away is what he's saying. I've come into the world to illuminate, and the first thing I do is I cast a demon out of somebody, and you put me under the mat saying, oh, you're the devil. Darkness. You don't see it. No, instead, place me on a lampstand is what he's saying, so that it reveals reality to you, so that you can see what I'm saying. The eye is the lamp of the body. You need to repent. You need to see differently. You're trying to see through right and wrong and fairness, and I know, and I got knowledge and all. No, you need to see through me so that you can see how things really are, is what he is saying. And then he says, make sure the light in you is not darkness. Oh, how often we do this. Now look, even as believers, there are times where we listen to the advice of darkness. We listen to the advice of friends. We go on Facebook and someone has some ginormous rant and we like it and we go, yes, that resonates with me. And that's darkness. It's darkness. Here's a good version of it. a good version of it, well, somebody will come to me and say, hey, Javen, I really feel the Lord's leading me into something. I'll say, that's great. Well, what's God telling you? And they'll say, well, he's really opening some doors right now. Okay, well, what did he say about the doors? Like, what are these doors, you know? I don't know. He's just opening doors for me right now. That's darkness. That's operating out of, oh, I see a sign over there. I see something over here. No, the cool part about being a believer is we have the Spirit of God living within us, who the Bible says reveals the depths of him to us. You can hear from God. You can walk with him. Don't just follow doors. Listen, a lot of people can open doors, okay? That's not necessarily God. I remember one time I had a door open for me that looked great. I mean, everybody around me saying, yes, Javen, you should walk through this door. This door looks fantastic. And nobody signed off no on it. But when I went to God and I prayed about it, I could not find peace. I just sat there and I looked at Brooke and I said, we can't do this. Like, I cannot. God is sharing with my heart. This is not his will. This is not what he wants to do. So don't follow darkness. Make sure the light in you is not darkness. See, the power of sin in the flesh loves darkness. Now, here, follow me for a moment. Darkness and sin are not the same. They're not used in the same way. So I'm not saying sin when I say darkness. What I'm saying is that darkness is what hides sin. Darkness is self-sufficient thinking. It's old nature thinking. It's saying, I will do something because God either hasn't, he's taking too long, or whatever. Any other thing you're saying, it's you taking matters into your own hands saying, I'm going to do because God will not. Our flesh craves this. It does. It's why in the garden, the very first thing you see, right, is man hiding. You see us being clothed. We're hiding our shame. But believers walk in the light. And let me clear up one point real quick. I am not suggesting that believers can have darkness within them. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, quite to the opposite. You can't. Jesus just said it. It will illuminate the entire house. We are illumined. We are new creations. Darkness has no place in us. But it's not about just seeing good and evil. It's about those moments where we say, God, even though I know spiritually, I know that your ways are higher than mine, I'm going to choose my ways right now instead of yours. It's not that there's darkness in you. It's that for some reason you shut the lights off for a moment to try to see. It doesn't make any sense. That's right. Life in the light is totally, totally different. If we, instead of being conformed to the pattern of this world, instead live the kind of life that Jesus came to give us, you will suddenly, by nature, begin forgiving people, and they haven't even asked for forgiveness yet. You ever experienced what I'm talking about? You just suddenly, someone comes to you, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, forgiven. Like, I forgot about it already. Like, it's already worked its way out of my life. Suddenly, you will bless people who persecute you. Suddenly, that person on Facebook who has a very different political opinion than you do, you will just say, you know what? I don't want to argue with you. I love you. I care about you. I will choose spirit life, right? It is a whole different way to live. And this could not be a better parallel than John the Baptist versus Jesus. And let's talk about these two guys for a moment. Jesus said, there is nobody in this kingdom that's greater than John. John is in this kingdom, not the heavenly kingdom, but in the earthly kingdom. There is nobody born of a woman greater than John. And then Jesus is the beginning of the brand new family. And he's going, in this kingdom, I am the greatest. But John is the greatest here. Now, John being the example, he continues in John 5:35. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking about John, who they knew very well. And he says this, he was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a little while in his light. Man, why did they love it? I picture them, I don't know why I have these pictures, but I picture them sitting up on the hill, and there's the river, and here John's baptizing people and for forgiveness of sins and this ritual cleansing, and they're standing there and they're watching it, and they loved it. Why? Because it was exactly what they loved to see. It was man's effort. It was man coming before God and saying, God, I'm so sorry, I'm dirt, you know, can you love me? Can you take me back? And so look, this whole process they loved, but the irony in it is they never got baptized by John. They saw themselves as above that process. So they were existing in a darkness that was even worse. They loved it. Do you understand that the flesh loves that form of repentance? Look, you may not think that. You're like, gosh, who in the world would want to feel bad about themselves and go before God and lay down here at the front of the church, as you've seen many churches do for many, many years, And can I tell you, every single time I came down and I would get down on the ground and I would beg, cry out to God, God, you know, do not, you know, remove your spirit from me. And I'm quoting David and everybody, because that's spiritual, you know, and I'm quoting him and, you know, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry, I did it again. And I'm doing all this. And then I get up off the floor and I walk away and I go, I feel better. I feel good. God loves me. What's the truth? The truth is God loved me before I was even created, okay? Before I ever got down on the ground, God loved me. God said he would never leave me or forsake me. So, Javen, what in the world are you doing? Well, what I was doing, partially what I didn't realize at the time was, although I said it as I'm rededicating my life to God, really what I was saying was I just rededicated my flesh to him. Like, I have committed to trying harder again. And that's why it felt so good. Why? Because there was a part in there that I played. Yep, I played a part. I did what was right. And that's how our minds work. And so he's saying, look, I get that you guys enjoyed watching this. I get that you enjoy this. But then he goes into verse 36 and he says, but I came to do something even greater. What I came is that the light may be in you, guiding you into all truth, so that when you come before the Father, rather than now me coming down and crying out to God and confessing all my sin, do you know what I want to do instead? Is I come and I cry out and I confess my righteousness and I say, God, thank you for what you did. It wasn't about me. It was about what you did, and now I'm righteous. Thank you. That's what my life looks like now. I spend way more time confessing that to God than anything else. Talking about who he has made me. The eye is the lamp of the body. All right, so this claim for just a moment, the eye is the lamp of the body. Let's look at how deep this really is. The Spirit would bring revelation to this truth later. You have John, the same one that wrote the Apostle John. He gets caught up in the Spirit, or he has this revelation. And I can't even imagine what this must have been like. Just standing before Jesus in this moment, he passes out. I mean, even in some kind of moment where he's taken out of body or vision, to still pass out. I mean, still sees Jesus and just passes out. It's overwhelming what he's seeing. And he's seeing all kinds of stuff he can't explain, and animals that got eyeballs all over him. And he's just sitting there going, where am I? Like, what's happening? And then he looks, and he sees a city that looks a lot like the city he knows, Jerusalem. And he looks at it, but he goes, whoa, something's really different about this city. There's no shadows anywhere. Like, this is weird. Like, imagine that. If you never saw shadows again, like, it's going to be weird, y'all. And he looks, and he's like, there's no shadows. There's only light. And when John looks to figure out how is this possible, he finds the glory of God as the radiance of all of this city. And in the center of this is Jesus. And John says, I saw a lamp. I saw a lamp. The focusing instrument of God's glory is Jesus. And here's Jesus shining light amongst every part of creation from eternity. It's an incredible moment that John sees. Paul would hear from John, I imagine. They called each other, and they're like, dude, you can't even believe what just happened. And Paul's like, I got the same revelation. Let me share it to you the way I saw it. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. I'm going to read this in the Message version. It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. You saw it as a lamp. You saw it as light. There's no shadows. There's no darkness. Paul's going, I get it, because it's in Christ that we find out who we are. Man, how often do we try to figure out who we are in any other way? You will only find hopelessness. You will only wear yourself out if you try to find God or try to find the answers to your problems anywhere else but Jesus. You will wear yourself out. And our world, by the way, is worn out, which it makes me somewhat excited, because I'm like, that means you're getting desperate for the truth, aren't you? In Christ, we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's in him that we find answers to all of our questions. It's in him that we don't have to just perceive 250 bytes, as we talked about last week, but instead we experience eternal realities. It's incredible. If you try to see the world any other way, you will only love those who love you back. You will only give patience to those who are patient with you. You'll only be kind to those who are kind with you. But if you see through his eyes, if you see through the lamp, if you see through the light, You will do weird stuff, and that you will love those who hate you. You will bless those who persecute you. You will give, someone wants to rob you, you're like, hold on, let me go to my house and get the rest of my stuff for you. You're kind of weird, and that's okay, because spirit life looks that way just a little bit. We are the body, and if he is a lamp, now connect these two dots together with me in Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Do you get it? You get it. It's all about him. We are the body. He is the head. And oh, by the way, he's the lamp. And if the eyes are the lamp of the body, what he's saying is you can't see the world without me. You can't even see without me. Make sure what you think you're seeing is not just darkness, but you have to see through the light. So here's the disciples. They're walking along with Jesus. And they're walking with him, and they're in the light. They're walking with him in the light. And so they're starting to see certain things, and they come upon a man who is blind. And their first answer is not compassion. Their first answer is not to be kind to him or to love him. No, they ask a question because of the knowledge that's going on in their head. They go, hey, did this guy sin? I mean, just imagine this. Like, imagine the blind man sitting there, and he's like, I'm right here. And he's like, did this guy sin? You know, or was it his parents' fault? Like, they want to go to that. And Jesus stands there, and I imagine him having another one of those, you know, moments. No, he's not. That's not the picture at all. No, this moment happened, and I have been waiting for thousands of years for this moment because I'm teaching you guys about light. I'm teaching you guys about sight. And oh, watch this real quick. Boom. And he's healed. I'm going to bring light to his eyes as a demonstration of what I'm doing to all of you. You think a miracle is this. I'm telling you, a miracle is when blind eyes come open all over the place, when spiritual eyes are opened. How different was Jesus' answer from what they were probably expecting him to say? They were probably expecting him to judge on that, go, yep, that's true. His father had blah, blah, whatever, you know? No. Now he answers by saying, it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he continues by saying in John 9, 4 through 5, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let me ask you something. Did he finish those works? Yes. Now, what I'm not talking about is healing. What I'm not talking about are these supernatural things that we still see today. No, he's saying the works that I work is so that when it's dark, you will still be able to see. The works that I work is even when I'm gone, you guys are going to be just fine. You're going to see just fine. The works that I've done makes healing possible even when I'm gone. His works are incredible, and he finished them. I am the light of the world. And then he turns around and he says it totally different in Matthew 5. He kind of spins it on its head and he says, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone, here he goes, he ties it in again. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is heaven, who is in heaven. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He's talking in realities. He's saying, look, I am going to go from being a lamp on a stand to being a sun shining in your heart. And everywhere you go, you're going to bring light into dark places and release people from their darkness, from their inability to see. It's not about just being ashamed of Jesus. That's a great song, but it's not just about that. This little light of mine is being focused through Jesus. Peter says this, he goes, man, look, we were eyewitnesses of this. Nobody talked us into this stuff. You know, you share Jesus with somebody and they're like, oh, you've been brainwashed or whatever. Peter was going through the same thing. He goes, nobody talked us into this. No, instead, 2 Peter 1, look at what he says. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But when we received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure to you, which you would do well, and then he quotes Jesus, to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Pause there for just a moment. We were eyewitnesses. We walked with the light. We saw that there was such a thing as light. Like we walked with him, we saw it. And when in this moment when Jesus is standing on this mountain and all of a sudden something, I mean, look, we're used to weird stuff happening, but all of a sudden this moment it got really weird. And like he changed in front of us for a second and like Elijah's standing there and Moses is standing there. I never thought I'd meet those dudes, but they're standing there. And I mean, picture this. We were eyewitnesses to this and we heard God say, "This is my son." We can't change. We can't ever leave this. We've seen too much. And those of us in this room today that are believers, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen too much. I'm an eyewitness in my own life of what God has done. I've seen too much. I can't be quiet about it. And he says, look, you guys should be paying attention to this. And then a really, really big word, until. Until what? Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Can I tell you what? You can stand out in the broad daylight and shine a flashlight, no one's going to see it. You don't need light when you have the sun, when you have the morning star, of course, Christ within you, living in you, being the lamp, being the head of the body, shining light into everything that you touch and walk in and see. He's always there. Look, it's why sin is not fun for a believer at all. You'll never enjoy sin because you're doing it in the light. You're doing it in broad daylight. It's the moment I have a moment with my kids where I totally fail. And look, this week I did. I had a moment where I was just like, darn. The reason why I can see that is because I'm in the light. If I was in darkness, I wouldn't see that at all. No, but even sin, it has nothing for me. And so what did I do? But I sat my three kids down and I apologized. I said, guys, daddy blew it. I blew it. I'm sorry. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to be able to do that. A light shining. And in this moment, Peter describes it this way. Luke writes it in 9:29. He says this, and while he was praying, as Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. Picture Jesus standing there looking that way and then hear these words. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When the day dawns on our hearts, we don't need a lamp because we have him. And the radiance that we are clothed in is his glory. And do you want to know what those clothes look like? Oh, I'm going to tell you what they looked like. Those clothes that Jesus in this moment, all of a sudden his robes became like the stars themselves. You don't want to know what that was? Paul tells us what that was. Paul says in Colossians, he goes, look, we take off the old. We take off this old nature. And when you have the new, it's totally different. And Jesus in this moment, we see the picture of what it looks like. And Paul says it's this. It's compassion. It's kindness. It's humility, it's gentleness, it's patience. Boy, you and I are both clothed in some awesome stuff. You are clothed as a believer in compassion. You are clothed in patience, in kindness. And when you walk about your day tomorrow, when you go into your offices, when you go into your schools, when you go out there, you need to remember the way that you are dressed. Because you are wearing these robes. And we get to go bring this light into every place we go to tomorrow. Somebody can tell us something straight out of darkness, and it could sound so wise. It could sound like the best wisdom you've ever heard. And God can say to you, darkness. And you can bring the truth. Our lamp is him. Our mind is his. Our heart is one that he gave us. Are you getting the picture? It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Paul gets in this moment where he's making a defense in front of his peers, in front of people that looked at him and was like, man, what happened to you? Like, you used to take the law and you used to do all this great stuff with it, like beat people up with it. And, you know, I mean, these guys are all looking at him going, what's wrong with you, man? You've changed. You're weird now. And Paul's sitting there and he goes, guys, I get it. I'm seeing something totally new. There's light. Guys, I fell off a horse. I got knocked off my horse. And I was surrounded by light. And then a voice came to me, and it was Jesus. Spiritual light invading spiritual darkness, speaking truth as we shared this morning. Here's my heart, Lord. He qualified us, Paul said, to share in everything Christ has. As what? Saints in light. That is your name. You are saints in light. Tomorrow when you go out there and people try to label you with something else, they try to call you something else, you go, nah, I'm a saint in light. I don't care if you can see it or not. I do. You should see it. C.S. Lewis said this, and we'll close. One of his famous quotes. I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Listen, hear me this morning. When you go load up your Facebook later and you go see all of the ills of the world and you see a problem with that friend and you see in all this stuff, this dysfunction in this world, when you see all of that, hear these words. Daddy is in the house. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. Daddy is in the house. Don't settle for a nightlight because you have him in you. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Let's worship.